Right now, it is time to bring in Dr. Judy Werfman. It is time for Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet. Also, her book, Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS. And yes, Journal of a Duck Midwife. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you, and thank you for conveying that message. I think we all forget how hard it is to find housing for so many people in so many areas.
Then we also forget, you know, again, it's just, you know, people tend to not look at the big picture, which is, you know, okay, where is this house going? Like, okay, somebody's literally calling. I cannot tell you how many people have offered to buy a vacant lot from me that they think a house is on. Oh, hi, we see you own such and such and such and such. I'll give you basically X on the barrel head. Like, no, you won't. And you haven't even looked at it, because if you had, you'd know it's a helipad. You know, meaning there's nothing there. But that has gone on for years across the country, and people, you know, now you turn around and it's like, oh, there's no housing. It's how things creep.
Right.
We can make a segue to diet, because this is how things suddenly creep up on you.
Yeah, and even though I wrote to you about the benefits of having comfort food, I don't think that in this situation, what you eat, even though it may have pleasant memories of the past, is really going to make a permanent difference in how comfortable you are in your housing situation. But I must say that sometimes, you know, what you eat really can make a temporary difference. And I was the reason I wrote this article to you about, you know, our foods. Do foods give you comfort because of nostalgia or because they have an effect on your brain? I was absolutely struck by the fact that as I was sort of cooking in my own kitchen, I had turned on a cooking program, or actually our public radio television programs, and there were two presenters, one right after the other, you know, each with like a half-hour program, and they both, as they ate their finished product, whatever it was, said, oh, real comfort food. Oh, this makes me feel so good. Oh, this really gives me feelings, you know, of what it was like as a child. And I thought, wow. One was talking, it was Lydia's Kitchen, what was she talking about her Italian roots and the foods that she and her mom sometimes gets on the program, you know, how she really loves these foods because they make her feel so good. And somebody else whose name I can't remember was showing how to cook certain dishes from Mexico, and she was eating from the appetizer to the main course to the cookie she had made for dessert. Every time she took a bite, she said, oh, this gives me so much comfort. I thought, what is, you know, are we only eating for comfort? Well, I mean, it's a nice thing to do, but sometimes we have to eat for other reasons, like we're just hungry. But and I thought, well, okay, so we all have foods that we have pleasant memories. You know, we also have foods that don't have pleasant memories, because we might have gotten sick after eating them. We do have foods with pleasant memories, and I have memories of a grandmother of mine who made, and nobody makes this anymore, sort of a chicken fricassee with all sorts of parts of the chicken that nobody probably would eat anymore, and it had a particularly wonderful odor to it as it was cooking, and I've been places where I've smelled something that smells like it, and I think all of a sudden I'm transported back into this tiny little eating area in her tiny little apartment, eating her chicken fricassee and, you know, her unconditional love, because of course she's a grandmother, you know, to I was her oldest granddaughter. So I can understand the importance of comfort food. And interestingly enough, even though we think that term has been around forever, apparently it was coined by a writer from a Palm Beach newspaper who was talking about the fact that some people who are emotional overeaters reach for certain kinds of foods because they comfort them. But the real comfort isn't simply in a good memory or, you know, a visual, you know, memory of what the kitchen was like when you were eating that particular food or what you were doing while you were cooking it. You know, as we've talked in the past, the real reason that foods actually comfort when you are in some kind of distress is because they bring about some kind of neurochemical response. They increase serotonin, and they'll only do this, of course, when you're eating carbohydrate. And then there really is a benefit that you can measure. It's not just nostalgic, but you can actually do an experiment, and it's just a very basic kind of experiment, in which you take standardized psychological tests, measures people's mood, anxiety, worry, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, grumpiness, anger, irritability, et cetera, and then you give the person something to drink, which contains a carbohydrate or a protein or maybe even a fatty mixture. But you don't know what you're drinking, and then an hour after your sure digestion has taken place, you give the same test and you see whether there's any improvement. And since you don't know what you were drinking, you can't draw upon your memories because you don't know what you're having, to make you feel better. It really has to be neurochemical. And if you feel better, gee, maybe it's because you're making more serotonin. If you don't, maybe it's because you had the placebo. And that is really the only way to measure this. But on the other hand, you know, comfort foods really do have a very important function. And I think that one of the things that occurred to me, Jill, is that I wonder if the younger generation is actually establishing memories of food that might, from a nostalgic standpoint, comfort them as they go through life, because their moms and maybe themselves aren't cooking anymore.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that.
Where do these memories come from? Their grandmothers are out, are playing golf or working, and their moms are out working, and their fathers are out working, and many of the foods they're eating may be, as simple as possible, because you don't want to spend much time making them, or they come in a box, delivered to your door, and you just cook them, or it's takeout, or if you are a child, you may be eating your first foods in daycare and continue eating away from home until you have your own home. So where and when can you establish some kind of nostalgic relationship to the foods that you're eating these days?
Judy, what the problem is that people, I'll say from 50 years and aging up, in today's society, see everything that is processed, is fast food, they see McDonald's, they see all this other stuff. And so when they think about what they had back when they were younger and they were actually home-cooked meals, that's where the term comfort food is wrong, but they remember
right.
that, and so that's called comfort food, and it's not comfort food. It was just locally made food that wasn't processed and full with lots of garbage.
It wasn't big ag, auto food, basically. And back to the houses for 1 second. One of the things that is gradually been done that people, again, don't realize is, you can order this boxed food. Like, this boxed meal
right.
is coming to you from where? And I don't mean,
my
I'm
factory.
Not talking about store. I'm just saying it's boxed. It's coming. It's like you have totally given up any control over feeding yourself.
Yes. And when was the last time people in a family actually had dinner together 7 days a week? I mean, that seems to have gone out with Leave It to Beaver or all those shows, in the 1960s. When did the mother, the father, the two and a half children sit down at the dining room table and the dog underneath and actually had a meal? If it wasn't, I'm not talking about occasions, and I think one of the reasons Thanksgiving becomes so important is that it is an occasion where everybody has to sit down and eat, and there is, memory associated with past meals, maybe developing new memories. But when do we actually establish these memories? I am a grandmother, but I'm wondering if my grandchildren will have memories of what I made, tofu, when they are making meals for their own kids.
Right. No, it's really, it's a really good topic. It's really important. And tofu for you.
Well, at least we have one day a year, Thanksgiving, but we should establish very good memories. And no matter what you serve, it's really with whom you're eating that makes a difference.
Thank
you. And that should be, I hope, a positive experience. All righty. Well, good luck on your quest for housing. I hope people come forth and share some things. Good talking. Bye-bye. Then.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman. Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy every Thursday morning right before This Week in the Lakeville Journal.